Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
And welcome into Jaguars Thursday. Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli. J.P. Shadrick has been on assignment all day long in Nebraska for Jaguars.com, and he will be joining us on the phone shortly to talk about Randy Gregory's Pro Day that was held at the University of Nebraska. We also are trying to get Maurice Jones-Drew on to talk about the retirement that he announced on his Twitter account. And then while the music was running, we saw the general manager, Dave Caldwell, walking down the hallway, and we said, hey, come in and join us, and he did. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening.
Are you ready?
For what?
I mean, there's a couple dates coming up, and I'm almost kind of glad that I'm going to be away from the TV a little bit and the radio a little bit, because on Saturday at 4 p.m., the NFL general managers and agents are allowed to talk. And then on Tuesday at 4 p.m., the signing dates, basically the beginning of the league calendar year, and you're free to sign free agents. And with a team that's flush with cap space, everybody expects you guys to be an active participant.
Yeah, I think Shad's going to lock me in the trunk of his car.
Just to keep you from spending all the money?
Well,
I don't think so. I think he's gonna have you up on as a hood ornament saying, Dave, spend, spend, spend.
Yeah, you're right. No, he's excited to help to improve this team, and hopefully the players are available that we're looking to commit, and hopefully we have some success. And you know, there's a supply and demand issue that we're trying to go through, and there's only X amount of players, and there's 32 teams that have demands for them.
How, I guess you could say, nerve-wracking was the last period of time before the tagging period? Because, you know, with teams tagging guys, I mean, that obviously shrinks some of your wish list that you might have in free agency, but was that one of those things that you just constantly monitor the wire and say, oh, man, we lost a guy?
Yeah, but we're going through the same thing right now, because you'll see some players get re-signed by teams right now, and teams are going to – and we're in a similar situation where we have a handful of guys that we're trying to re-sign. And, you know, we need an answer by Saturday, or else, you know, we can't promise where that money's going to go to come Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, that it may get committed elsewhere. So we got to know what we're dealing with and who we have under contract.
As you sit back and get ready for free agency, it's so much different than the draft, in the sense of, in the draft you have an idea who's going to be there, especially when you're picking three. And so you can really work your board and have an idea. Going into the free agency is a crapshoot. I mean, because you start Saturday night and you might have a target of three or four guys and you make good offers. Well, you know dang well that agent's leveraging that to the next team trying to get more. And so you really have a little control of what you can do.
Yeah, it's challenging. And you just hope that you've built good enough relationships with agents over your career, and that they're shooting you straight. You know, they're going to do what's best for their client. And the really good agents are going to find the best fit for their clients and find out where their clients can be successful and still pay them well, and not go for an extra $500,000 here and an extra $1 million there.
How much discipline does it take in free agency? Because, you know, do you guys, okay, you've got, let's say you've got, you know, three or four guys that you really want to have. Do you have a number in mind that say, okay, when it gets above and beyond this, we've got to look elsewhere because that's just too much for this player?
Well, it is, and it's a little bit, it can be an injustice to the player too, because you pay player X a certain amount of money, and with that comes expectations that he can't fulfill. And you know, a lot of the times you sign a player in free agency and there's really no upside to a contract. We've been fortunate enough with guys like Cedric Marks and Roy Miller where, you know, we've signed those guys where there's been upside to the contract. And you know, hopefully, you know, when you get involved in free agency in the first weekend, generally players have a difficult time producing to the level that got them that contract.
And recently you brought on John Idzik, who mm-hmm. Was considered one of the best cap guys in the National Football League for the Seattle Seahawks, and then most recently was the general manager of the New York Jets, and is highly respected with the numbers. And with the cap space that you guys have and him working with Tim Walsh, how critical is the structures of the contract going forward for your football team, and what are you looking for in those structures?
Well, it's important, and I think for the biggest part for us, there's two factors. One is, there's cap space, and then there's actually cash, spending. And we want to make sure we're mindful of that. And two, we want to be mindful of, we feel like we have some good young players on our team, whether it's Blake Bortles or Telvin Smith or Aaron Colvin, that come year three or year four of their deals, or Jonathan Ciprian, that we have enough cap space and cash to extend those guys and be fair and give them good deals. So, a guy like John, who's been in a very similar situation like the Jets, who had a lot of cap space over the last years, has been planning for this offseason for 2 years. So why not, pay him to come in and be a consultant for us and say, hey, what were your thoughts on this and that, and what's the best way to maximize our cap space?
What's it been like working with John so
far? It's been great.
Because, Gus obviously had a relationship with him in Seattle.
Sure.
Is he new to you somewhat?
He is somewhat new to me. He's a guy that I've always respected his work and comes very highly regarded by the people that he's worked with and for. So for me, it's, I grew up as a scout. I grew up in, personnel, and I was never well versed in the cap. I've learned as I've gone in my years in Atlanta and then, here, with Tim Walsh, who's provided me with a lot of knowledge, but that's always something that I'm searching to get better at, because it's not something that's I'm real strong at.
Going back to the first weekend of the free agency coming up here this weekend, do you go in the mindset of knowing you're going to have to overpay guys to get the guys you want? Is that just the reality of the first weekend of free agency?
Yeah, I think it is. But you don't want to mortgage the future. You don't want to get into a deal that you're going to regret immediately. And I think there's a breaking point. I have numbers written down next to every player's card, and once it gets to that point, we're going to tap out. And you got to be disciplined. And I know Shad talked to me a little bit about it, and we agree that, throughout life, you probably make your best decisions when you have very little money, and you probably make your worst decisions when you have a lot of money. And I know that's been true of my life, just personally. So as we're going through this, I think it's important that, we're mindful of it and that we're disciplined and, that we can't be afraid to walk away. We don't need to win in free agency this off season. We want to get good players. We want to help this team get better, but there's not our backs aren't against the wall or anything like that.
You mentioned winning in free agency, and that's always a temptation. And this time of year, historically, you look at the teams that quote unquote win in free agency, a lot of times they don't win in the regular season. But with the situation of this team being so young, and you guys have really gone through the process the last 2 years of kind of building the foundation, how tempting it is, how hard is it to have that self-control that when you player X, whoever it is, whether it's a Randall Cobb, Ndamukong Suh, or the big name guys, and you're saying, boy, whoever you're targeting, we want that guy, and to have the self-control saying, do I go an extra million to get him?
Right. Well, it's hard because when we first got here, we looked at the roster and going into free agency and said, in the draft, we said, well, we have 18 glaring needs going into that season, and it's like, well, you can't fill them all. And now we're getting 2 years into it, two drafts and a couple of free agency periods, and now we're down to maybe five or six really glaring needs, and then shit, we can maybe solve those needs here and free agency. But we got the draft coming up too, so maybe if we solidified two or three of those needs, we can solidify those in the draft.
And with those needs and the experience that you can draw upon with John Idzik, and then, I want to add also the name of Chris Polian, who was up for the general manager position in Philadelphia. I mean, with John and Chris and you, what's that room been like, first off, and how good is that for you to have two other guys in that room to maybe help, along with that process?
Yeah, it's been really good. And not only those guys in a personnel standpoint and John and Tim from a financial standpoint, but Gus and the coaching staff. We had some really early meetings all through the month of February with our offense and defensive staff. And then after the combine for a week. And, the input from the coaching staff has been critical as to, hey, if we do spend $9 million on this player or $10 million, how are we going to use him? What's his role going to be? And how productive can he really be? And are we better served, not going after that position, but really solidifying this position and trying to put the puzzle together? And the coaches have been a great input too.
The focus so much is on that first weekend. But I think if you look historically, and we've seen it here the last couple of years, some of the biggest home runs are on that second tier.
Sure.
Free agent period. As you break down, as the scouts and you and Chris break down your study, what's the ratio of how much time you spend on this? Okay, this, we know these 10, you know, six players are going to be first weekend guys.
Well, it's hard because you don't know what the other 31 teams are thinking. But for us, our theme going into this free agency period and this draft period is really finding players that can make a difference. We feel like we've done a pretty good job of solidifying the roster and you know, getting it to balance and churning the bottom end of it where, hey, we got some really good backups, some really good guys on this team that if we needed to can come in and start. But let's see if we can get some frontline players to kind of expedite this process a little bit and spend some money on some blue chippers, so to speak,
right,
and do that because, you know, we have guys that we like here and that are good. They just need a little bit more seasoning, a little bit more experience. But if we can expedite it with some blue chippers, we have a chance.
You know, last year was really the first year that you guys dipped into free agency and went into that upper age category that, you know, you didn't want to do in the first year. You
sure.
know, Chris Clemens,
yep.
Red Bryant, who's not really that old anyway, but he's kind of creeping up towards that. Do you see your team and staff looking at free agency a little bit differently now going forward to where we say, okay, hey, look, you know, in years past we wanted to really work at the roster and with youth, and then now we're at the point now where, hey, if we can get a guy who is a stopgap player for maybe a year or two, that's okay?
Yeah, I think so, and I think because we saw the value of what Chris Clemens brought to the team last year. Not only did he have 8.5 sacks, but, you know, the leadership he brought to that D-line group and to the defense. So if we can get a guy that can come in at a specific position where we're young, that can come in and provide some veteran leadership, or, you know, if the waters get rough in a game, to go in there and say, hey, let's get this going and let gather the team and rally the troops a little bit, I think there's some value to that. Now, you just have to be careful as to at what price does that come. We were fortunate with Clem and Red and those guys that they were fair market deals and they wanted to be here. So it was a win-win situation for all of us. So we're looking for that. I would say our free agent period this year would probably be a combination of that plus hopefully some young blue chippers that we'll get 4 or 5 years of. So when we're making our run here.
As you get ready, free agency, at the same time, all the pro days are going on with the college players.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska today and John Osher, J.P. Shadrick, we're going to have here in a little bit and talking about what happened out there. Is that mainly just that right now your focus on free agency and letting the college, Kyle and his team, kind of the college scouts, carry a lot of that load on the pro days?
No, I spent most of my day actually today watching college video and film. And you know, a lot of these guys worked out the combine, so I sent you Osher with a stopwatch to time Randy Gregory's 40.
It worked today. Perfect.
Yeah, so he'll come back at a 4.19, I'm sure, and we'll take him with the third pick. But, no, a lot of guys worked out the combine, tried to pay as much attention as I could to the workouts there, met with a lot of guys. We're going to have a lot of guys in here for visits, so just didn't feel like it was the best value of my time and the coach's time to go to a pro day. We'll have some private workouts in April on certain guys, like the aforementioned probably Randy Gregory, but for the most part we just felt like John and JP could handle it today.
so many people know what a draft day is like, the war room, you know, television cameras are in there.
Well, especially now after the movie came out.
Yeah, which I heard it was terrible.
Can we you know what, we have the perfect opportunity. It seems like Chip Kelly's willing to give up everything. You might want to call and see if he'll give up the whole draft for that third pick.
But with the war room on draft day, what's the weekend like? Because nobody ever really gets a look into the war room or the general manager's room on the start of free agency. What's it going to be like?
I think for me, to at least the last couple of years, it's actually I've been surprised as to how calm I've been. I think we've been pretty well prepared, but by that time all the work's done, and you really kind of sitting waiting for it to be over, and you're like somebody just please pick and let's go. And so for the most part there's not a lot of drama. You get on the clock and there's a little bit of excitement, but really only for about the 30 seconds before you pick is the excitement, because you want to make sure that the team that picked in front of you didn't take the guy you wanted.
But how does that differ from a free agency war room? On Saturday at 4 p.m where are you going to be, and who's going to be in there?
I will be in my office, and probably just me and by myself. Gus will probably be in and out, and Tim Walsh will be in and out, Chris Poling will be in and out, and John Idzik will be in and out, and they'll be working on their deals from their office, and you know, I'll give them each a player or two and say, hey, get these guys done, and this is the deal, these are the parameters, and I'll have a handful of guys that I need to get done, and we'll start negotiating with the agents and see where that takes us.
So it's not really a war room, so to speak, to where you got a gathering of people. It's kind of, I don't want to say it's another day at work, because it's certainly not another day.
Well,
I have
the Mutt March at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, so
you'll be busy.
I hope you guys will be there.
What is the Mutt March?
It's a fundraiser for the Humane Society.
Sure. Oh, okay, so, I got you. Yeah. Right, well, good for that. We appreciate you spending the time.
Thanks, guys.
And looking forward to Saturday at 4 p.m. I'll be glued to the phone.
Awesome.
Yeah, good luck with it.
I negotiate a deal for you.
I think I got 5 plays. What do you think, a mill a play?
I think you can
I
think you can do
First of all, you don't have 5. Forget the mill.
Well, with some of the modern medicine that we used to have, I think I got 5 plays.
Probably, yeah. It's a new and improved, I guess, these days, huh?
All right, thank you, Dave.
All right, guys.
The deadline to register for the 2015 Roar of the Jaguars is tomorrow. Auditions are open to candidates 18 years of age or older as of March 21st of this year. For more information and to register, go to jaguars.com. The Roar of the Jaguars are presented by Venus Swim and Fashion. More with me, Tony, me and myself, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Vaselli. I almost used your name for me. And we also have J.P. Shadrick coming up live from Nebraska, and we are hoping to get Maurice Jones-Drew on the phone line to talk about his announced retirement today. More after this on Jaguars Thursday.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Well, folks, every week you can join John Osher and J.P. Shadrick for Jaguars.com Live. Every Wednesday at 1 p.m., we'll have special guests keep you informed with the latest Jaguar news and take your social media questions. Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. on Jaguars.com. And we're going to go right to the .com man himself right now, J.P. Shadrick, who's joining us live from, I believe it's Lincoln, Nebraska, J.P., is that right?
That's right, the capital city and home of the Cornhuskers. It is cold, and it snowed a couple of days ago, but they're getting by here, and pro day was today. So, yeah, we're in Lincoln, and it was a big day today.
Do me a favor, when you get the time off before you come back, just do me a favor and drive west down the interstate and do a little turkey scouting for me when you get, right around, what's the name of that town I always go to? North Platte. When you get around North Platte, just give me a phone call and just give me a play-by-play for on it, will you?
Yeah, I'll do a little scouting for you on the way to the airport tomorrow. We'll go that way. We'll turn around. We'll come back.
Yeah, all right, good. I appreciate that. Well, today was the pro day for the highly touted Randy Gregory. He's kind of a outside linebacker / defensive end Leo type. I know that the pro day highlights of Randy Gregory are up on Jaguars.com. What did you see, and how did it go?
Well, I tell you, I was not really sure what to expect today with him, because it was kind of, you didn't know exactly what he was going to do. There was some rumbling that he might run the 40, but he decided to stay in his combine time of a 4.64. And he said later after the workouts today that he just wanted to show that he could play all linebacker positions, because, you know, I don't think he thinks he's going to be a hand-on-the-ground pass rusher in the league. I think he measured at 6'4.5" today, 238. He was up 3 pounds from the combine. He was a little sick before the combine. I think he had lost 8 or 9 pounds the week before just being sick. So the weight kind of scared a lot of people. And I think he was out today to prove that he can move, and he can play in coverage, and he can use his hands in coverage and do things linebackers do. So I don't think he wants to be pigeonholed as, oh, he's just a hand-on-the-ground pass rusher. He can do a lot more things. And I tell you what, he can run. There's no doubt about that. He can move.
I'll tell you what, though.
It's pretty impressive.
Sorry about that, JP. I'll tell you, if he is a 6'4.5" at 238 and he's has his hand on the ground, I'd be licking my chops. Because you could just – I mean, offensive lineman will manhandle.
Who's the guy in Miami that kind of draws – I mean, body type comparisons, the guy
– Deion Jordan.
Deion Jordan, who ended up getting suspended because he tried to bulk up the wrong way illegally.
Right.
But, I mean, coming out, when he was coming out, and I believe it was what, UCLA?
No, Oregon.
Oregon. There was a lot – there's a lot of similarities drawn between the two of them.
Yeah, he's – I mean, you look at Gregory, he's a long, lean – very athletic guy and was a very effective pass rusher in college. But you, JP, you're right. You got to be worried. And I think he's doing the right thing, showing that he can drop in coverage and move and do things like that that the outside linebacker does, and then drop his hand down on third down as a sub rusher. Because on every down player, on first and second down, if you're running the ball and you're in 12 personnel, I mean 21 personnel, it's not going to work well. I mean, that's a tailback, a fullback.
Let everybody know that two tight ends and a running back.
Or two backs and one tight end, and you're coming downhill at them. I mean, that could be a long day.
It could be. And I tell you what, all of those drills, the linebacker-type drills, like you said, Jeff, are on Jaguars.com right now, all in one nice package together to look at. We had a front row seat to it today. So pretty cool to see him run around. The other one here is Amir Abdullah, running back.
Okay.
He didn't do much today. He wanted to improve his 40 time. We were told before that that would be the only thing he was going to do today. And he's been rated probably the third running back coming out. You know, Gurley and the Wisconsin guy are ahead of him. But he did improve that time. He was a 4.6 at the combine. And, you know, there's no official time at these pro days, but the unofficial JP Shadrick iPhone stopwatch had him at 4.54, which was pretty good.
Okay, well Dave Caldwell told us that he gave a stopwatch to John Osher so that he could time these guys. What did Johnny O get him at?
Well, John had a 4.52.
Okay.
I can go around. So okay. We met in the middle, 4.53. It's about right. So it's an improvement for Abdullah, for him.
Now here's another very important question, because this football team is obviously very much in the market, I think, for running back. Very much in the market for certainly a young Leo on defense. And we know that General Manager Dave Caldwell was not there because he just joined us for the first segment of this show.
That's a heck of a flight back, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I mean, Shaq Khan's got some fast jets, but they're not that fast. Who was there from the Jaguars personnel side of things to give people an idea of who made the trip and what the interest may be?
Well, there wasn't a lot. It was one scout, Paul Rell. The only Jags representative in attendance today. I think there were probably 20. I think there were 27 teams represented, but I didn't recognize there were no head coaches, there were no GMs that I knew of there. So it was not that the big one today that turned out was the Clemson one. All of a sudden, it was where a lot of the head coaches went. A lot of the GMs went to Clemson today. I think Beasley is that kid's name. It's a linebacker coming out. So that after the combine, that blew up a little bit, and this probably would have been the place for that if Beasley had not blown up at the combine and done all that. It changes in a week's time.
One question,
that was kind of the scene here today.
One question that I would have, if I'm an agent, why would you want to have your pro day so close to the combine and on the eve of free agency?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to me that doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you want to get the maximum exposure, why would you do that on the Thursday prior to the start of free agency and so close to the combine?
And the other question I have are the ones that have them on the 10th or the 11th, when the free agency actually opens. I mean, that's the busiest time for teams that have money to spend. I mean, the USC and Alabama are on the 11th. That's the first full day of free agency. That's a busy time. And obviously, they don't really – they do it on their own schedule, but it's kind of interesting. It really is, and you have to schedule with your own school's pace and your own time for the best for your players, and you can't worry about some other schools that might have them on the same day. I suppose I don't know any other reason why it would be on this day.
Well, the reality is, though,
day for everyone.
The reality is the top guys, they're all going to get their own personal workouts, and so. You know, Randy Gregory, whatever he did, I mean, he already ran a good 40 time. They know what they have. And Dave basically said, we're going to work out that guy personally. Leonard Williams at SC, the pro day and all that's going on there. To him, the top five teams, top 10 teams in the draft are going to all work him out personally.
Yeah, but my thing is, Tony, I mean, the draft is not until April 30th.
Oh, I agree. It's early. I'm with you there.
We're at the beginning of March. I mean, if I'm a general manager, I want to see the guy. I want to see the goods. Soon before I'm going to the checkout line.
But that's on the colleges. I mean, the colleges are the ones who are dictating when they do their pro days, because they're for all the guys from their university. It's not the individual player. I mean, Leonard Williams on the 11th of March will work out with the rest of the guys at USC.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really the quarterbacks who kind of dictate their own pro days more than anybody, where you get these big turnouts. And then after that, it's the individual workouts and the visits that the top guys are going to take.
Yeah, for example, last year, I mean, remember A&M had their pro day, and then Johnny Manziel had his own pro day after that. He was separated from his. Here, there were, I think, 10 total players participating in this thing. And in the early testing in the weight room and all that, with the bench press and the height and weight and the vertical, I mean, Gregory and Abdullah didn't even – they just sat there and watched. I mean, yeah. That's all they were doing. So they were able to cherry pick, right, because they're going to go visit some guys and do some different things.
Well, the question that I have is that, you know, since Jaguars.com is there, you know, every time you go to the NFL Combine, Rich Eisen does a 40 test. And so at the Jaguars.com on the road with the college pro days, did Johnny O do a 40, and did he do a bench press test?
I was not there for the bench press testing if he did it. I walked out of the room a little early to get ready for the show, so he might have stuck a rep or two in. Well, he probably didn't sneak any reps in. The 40, I don't even want to guess.
JP, honestly, Tony, do you guys think that John Osher could do one rep on the 225 bench press test? Could he do it?
No.
If he ran a 40, what would he run?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I mean, what's a bad 40? 6 seconds? He's probably like 8.2.
Oof. But his arms would look so much faster.
Well, he's got long legs. So he's got long strides. You know, he does run. It's not like he doesn't run, you know. So I hesitate to say he's got some athlete in him, but he's, not a slug.
Please hesitate on that.
Yeah, what would you run the 40 in, JP?
I'd run it faster than him.
Well, that doesn't say much.
I just want to beat him.
I think that's a challenge. I think that could be a Jaguars.com feature. JP versus Johnny O in the 40-yard dash test.
And then Loggeman versus Vaselli, and then the winners face each other.
I would lose. I got fake hips. They don't move very quick.
I don't want to hear an excuse from you.
It's not an excuse. I'll go do it. I'm just saying I'm not breaking 10 flat.
I know you hate the 40. But
I would put my money on Tony over you, JP, and over Johnny O right now, fake hips or whatever.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I know I'm a better athlete than both of you guys combined. I think I could carry Jeff. I think I could carry
like 30 pounds.
I think I could carry Jeff on my back and beat both of you.
Woo!
Well, I guess let's put this to a test one day. on the practice field when we get home. I like it.
All right, JP. Well, what's up next for Jaguars.com?
Well, there's a flight back tomorrow.
No. But there's something that's going to be posted on Jaguars.com tonight, from the way I understand.
Oh, yeah. Inside the Jaguars, we'll have that, a recap of today. John Osher's stories will go up there today as well. They're about to head up there right now. We'll head back tomorrow, and the next week it's a free agency, getting ready for that. And I think Brian Sexton will be out in L.A. for the USC Pro Day, the house that Tony built, and they'll go out there and check that out. So busy times right now, first couple of weeks of the month of March with free agency and Pro Days and all that. And then it just keeps on going, guys. It really does.
All right, JP. Well, safe travels back, and just text me or give me a call when you're on the turkey scouting exposition there.
Yeah, I'll gobble around, see what's going on over there out west, and I'll report back to you.
Thank you, JP. See you, buddy.
See you, guys.
See you, JP.
Folks, get more for your business in 2015 with the Ultimate Business Makeover Sweepstakes presented by Comcast Xfinity, the Money Pages, 1010XL, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. For more information, go to Jaguars.com. More of Jaguars Thursday with me, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Vaselli. We're going to talk a little more East Jones-Drew when we come back right after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Prime Sport is the leading global sports travel and event management company, offering corporate and fan travel packages and hospitality events for corporations, professional sports teams, and fans. For information, visit primesport.com. Prime Sport is the official sponsor of the 2015 Jaguars offseason. Back on Jaguars Thursday, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Buscelli. And Maurice Jones-Drew announced his retirement today on Twitter. And Gus Bradley released a statement, and I want to read it. And here it is. On behalf of the entire Jaguars organization, we would like to congratulate Maurice Jones-Drew on his retirement. Maurice has made so many contributions to the NFL over the past 9 years, on and off the field. He is one of the great Jaguars, and he will always be a Jaguar. He was always a fan favorite, and he earned that every day with the way he immersed himself in the community. The traits that really stick out about Maurice are his competitiveness, determination, and toughness. He's a role model to so many for the way he played the game each Sunday. I know he will continue to be around the game of football because he has a passion for the game and helping young people. We look forward to welcoming him back to Jacksonville whenever he can come back. One of the great players of all time in Jaguars history.
You know, he is. And the way he played the game and what Gus said there is competitiveness and the approach he had every time he stepped on the field was something that is to be admired and respected. And I enjoyed watching him just over his nine-year career. He had 8,167 rushing yards, which was sixth most rushing yards in the NFL over that nine-year period. And from 2006, his rookie year, to 2011, he had the second most fantasy points. He's a big fantasy guy. It's only right that we talk about that. He is immersed in fantasy and does a great job with it. But he had the second most among running backs over that period of time, only behind LaDainian Tomlinson. And during that time, he scored at least 10 touchdowns, rushing touchdowns, and rushed for 1,000 yards in five of those 6 years during that period. He was
great back.
Outstanding football player and was one of the great Jaguars of all time.
Well, in his Jaguar numbers, you had mentioned them, the career numbers, and in the last year that he had in Oakland, he only had 43 attempts for 96 yards.
Yeah. And broke his hand in the first game. He started the first game, broke his hand, and never really got back on the field.
No, and there was talk that, you know, with the new interim coach that they had, that they were going to end up, you know, giving him the ball more. They were going to feed Maurice. Well, it just never happened. But his numbers as a Jaguar rushing, 1,804 carries for 8,071 yards, 68 rushing touchdowns. I mean, that's a tremendous number. In 8 years, 68 rushing touchdowns, 81 career touchdowns, all with the Jaguars. He had 68 rush, 11 receive, and then he had the two kickoff returns. And the year that really sticks out in my mind, besides the year you had mentioned earlier with the crosstalk with Frank Frangie and Rick Ballew, which that year was in 2011 where he rushed for 1,606 yards and was coming back from an injury. But the year that I really enjoyed Maurice was the year that he rushed with Fred Taylor together as a tandem in the backfield, and I believe that was 08. Because that 1-2 punch and then that game that they put together against the Indianapolis Colts here at Everbank Field was unbelievable.
And it was the year they won the playoff game up in Pittsburgh, going up there, and Maurice was a huge part of that team. So, listen, he did it the right way on the field. He played hard. He was a true warrior every time he put the pads on, and is a guy that young backs and young guys can watch how he approached it on a Sunday, and he's a good role model. Listen, played running back, he's not the biggest guy, only 5'7", played, they say 210 pounds, maybe a little bit heavier
A couple years here now, he was, pushing 220, yeah, 225.
A little heavier, but, 30 years old now, and the body just it was time. And I think everyone saw that here and tried to give it one more run at Oakland, which is his hometown, which I know was a great opportunity for him. And just injuries set in when you get older, it's hard to recover from them. And I'm happy for him that he's able to walk away from the game, and he should feel really good about what he was able to accomplish over that period of time.
I think that, you look at Maurice's career, and I think this is I think a perfect example of why maybe the running back position has been devalued. I mean, he had what was essentially 6 years that were tremendous. And then he had an injury in the seventh year, only played in six games in 2012 for the Jaguars, and then played hurt a lot of 2013 with the Jaguars. Played 15 games, but wasn't himself.
Never.
But I mean, that's why the position doesn't command Adrian Peterson money or wide receiver money is because that shelf life of a running back is just not there.
Yeah, you get over 30, all the statistics are there that really it's a rarity. And now there are a few guys who are able to do it and still play at a high level, but the vast majority hit that ceiling of their career and the bodies just shut down. That position probably more than any takes a pounding that is unhuman at times. I mean,
I don't know how they do it.
It is amazing. And you ask anyone who's played in the NFL and has been on the field during a game, and the collisions that the top backs take and the pounding.
Well, especially the style that he ran.
I remember being on the field at times just going, I have no idea how they're getting up. And they get up, and guys like Maurice are special guys, and they play with a special type of determination, but it only lasts so long.
Yeah, I think that's why, you know, Emmett Smith might be even, you know, even more impressive, his statistics, because Emmett was not really a Tony Dorsett type of back that really avoided contact. I mean, Emmett didn't shy away from contact ever. Now, Emmett wasn't a guy like Maurice Jones-Drew or Earl Campbell. I would put Maurice more in the Earl Campbell category. But the way that Emmett Smith was able to take the pounding for as long as he did, that's an impressive accomplishment.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen very often. And it's one of the reasons, you know, guys like Emmett or Walter Payton who took, never shied away from hitting, had a long career. And, heck, it makes you look back and appreciate what Fred Taylor was able to do and the length of his career and where he was still productive in the later years, and why, Fred is truly arguably, a Hall of Famer because of the numbers but also the longevity. And so you look at Maurice, and the last couple of years were not what he wanted them to be. But it's kind of the position, especially with the style of runner that he was.
How long does it take before he is inducted into the Pride of the Jaguars?
It's
a couple years?
Yeah, it's going to take a few years.
I mean, it's a slam dunk that he should go in.
You know, you would think so. I mean, just what he's been, what he was able to do, But you never know. Maybe two, maybe five. But, I mean, ultimately, you'd expect his name to be up there.
Yeah, and second-round pick. I mean, to get that kind of production out of a second-round pick and a running back that, when he was drafted. I remember when he was drafted back in 06, everybody was like, who's this guy? And then all of a sudden he walked in the door and he looked at his stature at, 5'7", bowling ball. And you're like, really? This guy's a second-round pick running back?
Good. Well, see, I knew he was because I watched him play at UCLA and watched him play against SC for four straight years.
And yeah, but most people didn't
know. No, exactly. I knew that we were getting a guy who could play.
All right, folks. Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. They're the official waste provider of the Jaguars and have been proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. More with Jaguars Thursday. Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli right after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
For season tickets, single game tickets, or to learn more about being a Jaguars 365 member, call 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. Now it's time to take a look around the NFL, a 360-degree look presented by 360 Access. Don't mess around when it comes to game time. The 360 Access team of experts is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure you have the best experience for the biggest games of the year. Visit 360access.com to learn more. Biggest news maybe the last couple days, Peyton Manning passed his physical and then agreed to take a $4 million pay cut with the Denver Broncos, Tony, your team that you used to root for.
Yeah, a long time ago.
Not unexpected. I mean, the conversation was that they wanted to have him take a pay cut, and he should have, right?
Well, listen, Peyton Manning makes a ton of money on and off the field. I'm not saying that to devalue what $4 million means, but he wants to win. At this point of his career, it's about getting another chance to win a Super Bowl, walk away as a Super Bowl champion. And to do that, I think he is very smart to understand that he has to free up cap space so the Broncos can sign guys and surround him.
Surround him with good players.
With good players.
Well, they got two of them on offense that are unrestricted free agents.
Well, Demaryius Thomas won't be. He's going to be capped. He's a
franchise
tag. Thank you. What they really need to do, and I don't think they're going to – I'd be shocked if they bring Julius Thomas back, because what they need to spend their money on is that offensive line, which was atrocious last year.
Well, and if they're going to run the football and run Gary Kubiak's style of offense, they better do that.
They got to get offensive linemen. They need to figure that out. It's a group that was not very good. Ryan Clay, the left tackle, is a good player. But other than that, it was a sieve at times. So I think it's a smart move by Peyton Manning, and I don't think anyone's going to lose any sleep or cry very many tears for him that he's only going to make $15 million this year instead of $19
million. He's making plenty of money, and he's made a ton of money in his career. I don't know if he doesn't have a lot of money in the bank, then shame on him.
Rightfully so. He's done a great job. He's been great for the league. He's been great for every team that he's on. So I don't begrudge a guy for making his money. I think it's a smart move, though, if he wants a chance to win a title.
Which, the comparisons will always be drawn. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. Tom Brady, 4 Super Bowls. Peyton Manning, 1.
Yep.
And so it's got to be about Super Bowls when you're talking about Peyton Manning. I mean, that's going to be his legacy. All right, in other news, Vince Wilfork was informed that his option is not going to be picked up for the New England Patriots. I think he's still a great player. If you're the Jaguars and you can get a Vince Wilfork, if he would come, which I don't know if he would, but if he would come, do you take a look?
I think you always take a look, but I think Vince Wilfork's going to stay in New England. I think it was New England just letting him go out there understanding what his market probably would be, and they probably could get him back cheaper than the option would cost them. I mean, if you're Vince Wilfork, you just won a Super Bowl. You've been there your entire career. Do you go somewhere else?
Two Super Bowls.
Yeah. Do you go somewhere else for an extra $500,000, or do you stay where you are and have been, and a chance to, with Tom Brady, a chance to make another run at it, which they'll be one of the favorites in the AFC again. So my guess, he stays there. But if you're the Jaguars, I think if you're any team to have that type of veteran presence, a leader, a guy who's been on great teams, who's won Super Bowls, and who can still play that one technique, which is the nose tackle, at a very, very high level. Absolutely, you look at him. I just don't think he's going to leave.
Yeah, and when as many hugs as I've seen him and Robert Kraft have, and the head coach Bill Belichick, I would be shocked if he left there. But, I mean, if you're Dave Caldwell and you got Roy Miller, you want to have another guy, big stout guy in the middle. I mean,
For the right price, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But, listen, last year they tried to get Vince Wilfork to take a pay cut. He refused to, and they paid him his money. This year they didn't pick up the option. But I think it's a pretty strong, deep relationship there in New England with Vince Wilfork, and I'd just be shocked if he's not back.
All right, the big trade, which is supposed to happen once the league's calendar year starts at Tuesday at 4 p.m., LeSean McCoy, running back for the Philadelphia Eagles, supposedly going to be an even swap for linebacker Kiko Alonso, is coming back from an ACL reconstruction. Looking at this deal, Tony, who's getting the better end of that? I mean, LeSean McCoy comes with a very high price tag. Kiko Alonso's coming back from a pretty, I don't want to say severe, because anymore ACL seem to be kind of routine, but he's coming back from a knee injury. Doesn't cost a whole lot of money. Who gets the better end of that?
Well, I think if you're Chip Kelly, you're looking at, in your system, he does not value the running back, and LeSean McCoy is going to be a $12.5 million cap hit this year. He shared time with Darren Sproles, and many could argue that Darren Sproles was more productive last year than LeSean McCoy. You get a young guy in Kiko Alonso that, when he was healthy before last year, was an up-and-coming inside linebacker. That Philadelphia defense has not been great. It puts another guy who can run and move next to Michael Kendricks, who's a good linebacker.
Really good player.
And so you got to like it if you're the Eagles, and if you're the Buffalo Bills. Listen, you get a guy, C.J. Spiller is probably going to be gone. He's always been hurt. You get a top-end back. Rex Ryan wants to run the ball and play good defense. They have a great defense in Buffalo. Sign Matt Castle, gets you some stability at the quarterback position, who I think is above average. He's not great, but he's above average.
Maybe.
Well, he's better than what you have right there right now. And so I understand the deal from both ends. The question I have, though, is for Chip Kelly. I mean,
Kelly got the better end of that deal.
Well, I think Chip Kelly at some point has to look, what is he doing in that locker room as well? I mean, you're probably going to lose Jeremy Maclin. You got lose LeSean McCoy. You let Trent Cole go because you wanted him to take a pay cut drastically. Who wouldn't do it? How much damage are you doing in the locker room if you're Chip Kelly? And sooner or later, I mean, listen, I get that he's a great offensive mind and his system has had success winning 10 games back-to-back, but they did miss the playoffs last year. And it's still a league about guys who can make plays. Yeah. And it'll be very interesting, especially if he does the thing that I think would be the craziest thing ever, is to mortgage everything in this draft to try to get up to number two or three to get Marcus Mariota.
All right, in a couple minutes here, because we're about out of time, give me three names you want to see the Jaguars. So next Thursday when we do this show, give me three names you want to see that are signed on the dotted line.
I think it would be great if we could sign Randall Cobb, Julius Thomas, and DeMarco Murray. Can we just get all three of those guys on offense?
I'm going to throw out a name because, you know, right tackle, and everybody's talking about Brian Bulaga,
yep,
who's a really good player.
But he's beat up. He's got a lot of injuries.
History now. You know, the one guy that we actually watched in preparation for the London game who was playing for the injured Doug Free, Jeremy Parnell.
Yep.
I thought that this guy was a very good player. He's a former defensive end that made the conversion to offensive tackle. And I don't know if he's not better than Doug Free. And the Cowboys are a cap-strapped team that I think that you might be able to get this guy here who I think has got a lot of upside.
Yeah, he's a guy, and I think you can find that type of guy who has maybe been a backup on a good offensive line like Dallas, but has been productive when he's gotten in there and get a good deal at the right price. Another guy that was a rush the passer very well was Jerry Hughes from Buffalo. They decided not to franchise tag him. He's going to be a free agent. He is a guy who can put his hand on the ground, play that Leo position, very athletic.
You got a little link there, too, now.
Excuse me?
You got a little bit of a link there to Jerry Hughes.
Absolutely.
Because Chris Polian was in Indianapolis and was part of drafting Jerry Hughes in Indianapolis, who was a bust in Indy.
They felt like he drafted him early, but he's a guy who took some time to develop and had a really good year last year for Buffalo. And maybe a guy you can get at the right price to play that Leo position. So I think it's going to be very interesting. The fun part is the first weekend. Because all the things, big names and everything like that. And that's what the fans are enamored about, and I get it. The thing that I think makes the difference in free agency is what do you get in that second tier? That's where this team's won.
This team's going to be a participant in both.
In both, they are.
There's no doubt. No doubt. I mean, I would not be surprised if they come out of free agency in the first couple weeks signing, you know, in the first couple days signing three guys, four guys, whatever it may be, and then throughout the course of free agency – to make this roster competitive, I wouldn't be surprised to see 7-8.
Can we get the three guys I mentioned? Can we get Cobb, DeMarco Murray, and Julius Thomas?
With $60 million
in we have the cap room.
There's a strong chance of that happening.
No, you have the cap room.
But, you know, the one thing, though, that you got to kind of let fans know, though, I mean, a lot of all these guys that are going to get signed in free agency, you can't put the expectation level with the pay. Because in free agency, you're overpaying for a guy's true value.
You have to, because there's 31 other teams that are trying to get the same guys.
But I just want people to get, you know, if they sign a Randall Cobb, let's say he makes $11 million, is he really an $11 million player that you have grown in your own organization? No.
Wouldn't it be great to be one of those guys, be a free agent, and get overpaid?
Heck yeah. I was one of them. We'll talk to everybody next week. J.P. Shadrick will be back in the house. And we anticipate having a lengthy conversation about the free agents that the Jaguars have just recently signed right here on Jaguars Thursday. We'll talk to you then.